Okay, let's go on. Start in verse 6 here of Revelation 15. Go on with this vision, what John is seeing. Because now it's really going to start to heat up. It says, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts, can you imagine seeing all these beasts and these images that God has up there? We have no idea what they look like. But they will be pleasing to the sight. And when you see one of these angels or beasts or whatever he uses, you'll go, oh yeah, that was created for that job. That was created for that job. You'll know immediately. Because God's mind is sound. And everything he does makes sense. So although some of these things may appear to be a little strange or weird, we're looking at it from the physical point. He's looking at it from the whole thing. And when he creates a being like that, it's perfect. And when we see it, we'll go, oh yeah, oh that's neat, oh that's perfect. You know, we don't think about those things all the time. But everything the Father does is perfect. Everything. There wasn't two alternative plans. There was only one plan. When you think perfectly, this is the way you think. This is the way it has to happen. It would be nice to start to understand that mind someday and to have that mind. Because our minds are going in 100 different directions. Verse 7, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God. Remember when on atonement, when they had to go in and Aaron had to burn that incense. And the cloud came up, this little cloud, and it had to cover that altar. Well, that's what it's all showing. It's picturing this. His glory is so great. And from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. So he's got rules, regulations. This has to happen. Everything in order. No confusion. You know, no committee member jumped up and said, hey, why? I think I ought to be able to come in there. Six of us out of the 10 think we should go in. Well, isn't that the way we do things in God's church? Like one of our elders says, 10% have to, or 90% of the committee has to vote in a new doctrine. And our elder says, well, what happens if the 10% guy is right? Well, now we have a problem, don't we? See, it's just common sense. You would never run a business that way. And business is all satanic. Why would you ever want to, you know, run something else some dumb way where you have all kinds of confusion? At least in business, it's fairly sound. And the chairman of the board says, nope, we're going to do it this way. And that's where the company goes. All right. Unless it's too big of a corporation. And then they start working like a committee again. And then the big company finally goes little again because it's all messed up. And we've seen that happen. Let's see, the next chapter here, we actually go into the vials themselves. I'm going to skip that for right now. We're going to come back to that. I want to look a little bit more. What's going on up there in heaven during all this time? It's very interesting to see this because God has his order. So let's start in Revelation 17. He says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying, some of this may be a little bit out of context, but we want to finish with those seven vials. And this, all these things that go on up in heaven, and a lot of this we don't understand what it is, but we should be familiar with it. So this one came and saying unto me, come hither. He's talking to John. Come over here. I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Now we've read a portion of this, but I'm going to read this first part here again. It says, which whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And this is Gog, and this is what I was talking about when he came and deceived the whole world. This is a view now from God and how God perceives this and perceives Satan, the one that he's going to do away with very, very quickly here. It says, verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, probably about 666, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold, all the finest things, trying to be that counterfeit again, and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now remember back in, Romans 1, I think it's in Romans 1 there, where it talks about, we always apply that to ourselves and mankind and turning them over to reprobate mind and we knew better and yet we went the other way. No, that was talking about the angels and all these Satan and all of his angels. They were there at the beginning. And they are without excuse. We walk in ignorance. They walk without excuse. And they deliberately go against God. And they do have the abominations. And it's all on them. It's all on their head. And they cause mankind to do this. Verse 5, and upon her head was a name written, Mystery. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She's exposed here in this vision. She's exposed what she's supposed to be. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Christ. And when I saw her, I wondered. Great admiration. I said, whoa, look at this thing. It's a great thing. Marvelous gold, all these precious things. But all the blood of the saints on it. What a vision. You know, someday, maybe we'll be able to see the same vision. I mean, I certainly hope God has something worked out there where he just clicks your mind or something. We can see Moses. We can see Noah. We can see like a videotape everything that happened in the past. We have the outline, but it would be nice to see it. Wouldn't it just see it? And if that's not good enough, we can go over to Moses or Noah and actually talk with them. People can bring their children over and say, this is the man that made that big boat. Come over here and see him. You have some questions about those animals? Hey, I'm in that line. I got some questions. What did they do with all that stuff in there? You know, they were in this confined thing with all these animals. You know, woo! We're going to find out. He'll say, oh, well, we did this, this. That was smart. See, because God gave them the plans. So again, that boat, that ship was going to be perfect. We haven't thought about how to make a perfect ship yet. So in verse 7 here he comes back. It says, and the angel said unto me, why do you marvel at this? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which had 7 heads and 10 toes, or 10 horns. We all say toes. ten horns. Getting my visions mixed up here. I was waiting for the music to come on again, I guess. So, verse 8, the beast that you saw was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition or damnation. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains or governments on which the woman sits. This isn't Rome with the seven mountains of Rome. Now, that's a nice analogy there. But God has a much bigger picture he's showing. These are the seven ruling governments, or mountains, as the Bible describes them. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is. The one is was the Roman Empire in John's time. And the other is not yet come. That, of course, is that Gog, which is happening after the thousand-year period. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition or damnation or goes into hell. So after he does finally kill the beast, which is Satan, he goes into the dust of the ground, however God accomplishes that, he says he's going to, and he brings him back up. Now all of a sudden, it seems like it's the eighth head of this beast. There's another resurrection of this beast, revival. But he's of the seven. It's still Satan. And John, when he writes it very specifically, so you cannot get confused. Let me restate that. We were all confused. But with the Spirit of God and the true plan of salvation revealed, now you don't get confused. Because now we're all on the same page. We're all reading the same thing and understanding the background of this. That's about where we stopped the last time that we read that. I want to go on because a lot more happens here. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. Now, as far as I can tell, you've had this whole earth for 1,000 years being very peaceful. So you probably will have 10 major nations like the United States, like Europe, like Africa, like South America, like Russia, China, some of these big nations like that. But everyone was at peace. Everyone was doing the right thing. But now, all of a sudden, the evil thought is in all of them. So they have a lot of power now on this earth. They control a lot. They've grabbed it. It says in verse 14, remember, after that, they take Jerusalem and all that. They're all still around. And they're all still evil. And they're still looking for a fight. They will as long as Satan lives. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, this is all of us, they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. These are the 144,000. We were all called by God, and we were chosen by him, and by the blood of Christ, we were faithful, and we became virgins of Christ. We became that bride. Or did somebody out here mess up and now this whole thing is wrong? Did somebody sin? Did somebody have their own decision? Did you want to get out of it? You see, you can't do that. When God makes a statement, it's true. These aren't the ones left. These are every one of them that he called and chose and made faithful by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're there. No ifs and ands. And he said unto me, the waters which you saw, where the whore, this great Babylon whore, sits, are peoples. It sits right on the peoples and the multitudes and the nations and the tongues. It's got complete control over everything. And the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. They actually hate this whore. They actually hate this beast. And shall make her desolate and naked, I'll explain that in a minute, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. But it says about these, it says, for God hath put in their hearts. God, no choice, no vote, no committee. God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Not our will, not their will, his will. And to agree and give their kingdoms unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Looks to me like our Father's in charge. Thank God for that. And the woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. That's that Babylon. That's Satan. It's incredible. We will try to get that and finish that all up. We're just editing some of it now, that the two cities. It gives you an overview of how God looks at it. We know how we look at it. We know that's pretty messed up. But we have this article from God's point of view, and he's looking and what he sees, and why he says what he says in the Bible about these two cities. And it's absolutely fascinating. But what does God do with all these? Now, we're going to get to those vials in a moment. Let's go over here to Revelation 18. I'm trying to set the whole scene so when we get to the vials, it just is bang, 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 and it's done. You know, all the people of the earth at that time, when Satan is in control again, they just give themselves, and they love it, just like they love it today. He just brings them right in. In verse 11 of Revelation 18, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. Because they're going to see this big destruction. They're going to see this. Their heart is with Satan. They don't stand with God the way we did on that fast. They love. They have that lust of the eyes and the pride of life. They love it. And just a short time before, they were living peaceably. And now they love this. They can't help themselves. And it shows that human beings cannot withstand Satan. And when Satan's allowed there, there's that computer chip, there's that power, and you just go the way of the flesh. Unless God stops it in one sense or another, you just go that way. And so they weep and mourn over her. For no man buys their merchandise anymore. They were in a mode of self here. And there's a lot of spiritual ramifications with this too. The merchandise of gold and silver. That's what Satan always goes after, isn't it? The precious stones, the pearls, the fine linen, the purple, the silk, scarlet, all of this stuff, the ivory, everything that would be precious and physical to man. And Satan, that's what everyone goes after. And he goes on, next verse, talking about the fine flowers and the wheat and the sheep and the horses. Everything and the slaves and the souls of men. He's got the whole world again. It says, and the fruits that your soul lusts after are departed from you, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from you. This is what God's going to do. Isn't that what we do at the fast? When you fast, put all that physical stuff away. You recognize them for finally what they are. They're all satanic. We live by every word of God. In 15, the merchants which were made rich by her, well, they love this beast, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. See, he still has a hold over all these people. And saying, alas, alas, that great city, oh, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold, the precious stones. For in an hour so great riches has come to naught. I'm poor. I'm flat broke. You know, what is this? I thought this was it. This is what I loved. I have nothing. And everything is being torn down. And every shipmaster and all the company of ships and sailors, all of this, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning. That the city, what city is like unto this great city? What world is unto this great world of Satan with all the little nice things there for us? We don't care about all those who don't have it. But I had it, and I love it. Now all of a sudden, it's all going down. And they cast cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of their coastlines. Costly. For in 1 hour she was made desolate. Just boom, down, gone. All of this. And these aren't just the human beings. These are all the demons now, too, doing all of this. Because they're right in there. That was all part of it. So I wanted to stop right there and come back now and see what God does to this. This is all their wailing while all these plagues are starting to hit. When everything is being taken away, when Satan is finally being conquered, this is what John is seeing. Whoa, this is what's all happening on this. Let's come back to chapter 16 and read through these seven last vials. Because this is utter destruction. This isn't a little here, a little there. This is utter destruction. So starting in chapter 16 in Revelation, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now this is when, we just don't have the time to read all of this. But this is when God says, now did all of you see? Did all the first fruits see? Saw a perfect world. Now you saw Satan. Now you see them all evil. Look what Satan's doing. Look at this destruction. Do you see the evil? Do you appreciate this? Don't ever, ever forget this. Which you will not, because you will be a god. Then he says, get on these white horses, and let's go down and make an end of this forever. Let's stop this forever. This is what is happening here. Verse 2, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. This is really, it's upon man and angels, the bad ones. It's on everything, everything living here. So there was some kind of a huge sore that came upon everyone. That slowed everyone down in their tracks. Verse 3, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, a big clotted mess, dead, all of the sea. And every living soul every living soul died in the sea. None escaped this. Now all the seas, everything in it is dead. And there's grievous sores and all the men and angels running around. Would you like to be in this wine press? He said, you ever see a wine press? The old ones? You throw all that wine in there, there's this big screw up there. You keep cranking this big screw, and it never releases. He just keeps screwing it down, and it keeps pouring out. And even when you get down that pulp, ever so often you go over there and give it another little shot, let it sit, and then until there's no more. That's what he's going to do to the earth, Satan's world. Squeeze it to nothing. Nothing. No release. No relief from any of it. Just pounds it down into the ground until there is no more. In verse 4, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of the waters, and they became blood. Now you have all the sea blood, now you have all the water blood, all the rivers blood, everything's blood. What a wonderful place that would be, huh? And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. It's righteous judgment, the very vengeance and wrath of God. Now the people have to die, but that was appointed anyway. But he has to kill Satan. He's got to bring him down, never to hurt his children again. So this is why there was such good judgment. Verse 6, for they have shed. Who have shed? Satan, all those angels, everything. Of course, he used man to do that too. For they have shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. For they are worthy. They're worthy to drink this blood. They deserve to drink. Verse 7, and I heard another angel out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and the power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with a great heat and blasphemed the name of God. By this time, every little miserable human being is already run under a rock. But these satanic beings, they're coming to their end, and they're going down with a fight, and they'll blaspheme God till every breath is out of them. That's what evil is. No repentance, no change. They can't. They're evil, brute beasts made to be destroyed. So they blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. They wouldn't do it. They can't do it. It's not. They don't have choice. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and the kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Boy, we used to really rag on the human beings here, didn't we? No, these are these things, these evil, rotten things. As you see, they deserve to die forever. Verse 12, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, and basically all one and the same. All Satan, all his garbage, all his junk. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to battle the great day of God Almighty. This is what these things had already done. They had already done this to fight against God. And it was always, he's showing us right here, that's always Satan. It was Satan. He tried to disguise it, even with human beings sometimes. But the spirit was of Satan, and he did it. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them in, and he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. This is when Armageddon happens. This is when all this happens, when he gathers everything there to destroy everything. This really is the great day of God's wrath on this earth. Now the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. Now don't read any further. We'll get back to that. Let's jump down here to verse 18. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake, and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the city of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. He had his number. He was going to get him, and he did. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. This may mean the people. The peoples were fled away, as he refers to them as islands. And the mountains could be the governments. And of course, a huge earthquake to boot, which is going to shake and destroy all kinds of things. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, which is 130 pounds. And men blasphemed God, and this could be angels as well, probably is, because of the plague of hail. For the plague thereof was exceeding great. It was exceeding great. Now how he kills these all these demons and Satan, I don't know. But he made them. He can destroy them. And he says he will put them in the dust of the earth, which he does. We'll read that next holy day. Coming back up here, as all this is happening, this is all transpired. From those plagues, you know that there is no more life. No one can withstand this. Everything is done. There's other places where it talks about him bringing that fire and brimstone upon the earth. Have you seen Sodom and Gomorrah lately? You know. They're gone. That fire and brimstone comes. I think Mr. Trumbull will read some of that. Give you a little better idea of how that all shapes up. He prophesied what he's going to do and all of that. And it's total devastation. Total devastation. And in verse 17, that seventh angel poured out his vial onto the earth, or to the air, rather. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." It is done. Finally, It is done. What a day. There's peace on the earth. Of course, there's no human beings on the earth. There's no little snails running around. There's no fishes in the sea. There's nothing. It's an absolute dead planet. A dead planet. He had to do that. Now, there's been some question. We'll get into this on the great last day, but there's been some question. Well, God says he's going to make a new heavens and new earth, and if he does that, if we take that literally, like actually creating some new planet, well then, how can people still bury the bones? Or if they dig up bones, what's the deal there? Well, it doesn't seem like from scriptures, and we'll read this on the great last day, he says a new heavens and new earth. It's not going to be this former, this satanically ruled, this garbage. He's going to cleanse this earth with fire. Burn it all up. No more governments of Satan. None of that. Because he says, as we'll read later, how he how people will rebuild the waste places and bury bones and melt down the armaments for 7 years. But as far as this former thing, it's done and Satan is done. We can read about that very quickly in 2 Peter. Peter talks about that. And this is what our hope is. And we should never, ever forget it. In 2 Peter 3. Starting in verse 10. And he's going on about the scoffers and the ignorance and all that stuff. But then he comes and says, but, in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Because there's no one warning. There's no prophets of God. God's church isn't here. The Spirit of God isn't on this earth. No one knows. There is no warning. When Satan deceives the whole world, and the whole world goes with it, and they love it, and the merchandising. And it may take several years, or maybe 300 years, I don't know. It's a short period of time, whatever God classifies that. It's enough to get the whole world into all of this garbage again, even more so than it is now. And there's no one there to warn anybody. It just comes. It just comes. It comes as thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Doesn't mean it's going to disappear, but certainly going to have a, you have an oxygen fire, like with those astronauts that time. Boom, that's it, life stops real quick. And he pours that last thing out into the air, and it just goes across this earth and woof. Whatever it does, it destroys every living thing. To seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking forward, all of us should be looking forward. We know this. It's coming to a thief. To all of them, not us. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we know all of this is going to happen. Nevertheless, we, the 144,000, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. That's what we look forward to. And that's what we'll be going through in that great last day. We want a new government. We're sick and tired of this old government. And when everyone comes up in that great last day and sees the happiness and the joy that is there because God's Spirit will fill this earth. What a difference. What a difference that's going to be. You see, God's not coming after man. He's not going to stomp on his creation and get even with them. They're going to have to die, but we're all going to have to die. But he has to bring down Satan's governments. And he finally has to bring down Satan himself and to kill him and to destroy him. And we've read the plan on how he's going to accomplish that. And our vision of that and our view of that as being human beings looking at something that's absolutely spirit and wonderful, we really can't get the full grasp of that. As much as we can come to now and understand this, it's going to be so much greater. And we're going to be there. We're going to be standing on that sea of glass as these angels are whipping in and out and going around with their sickles. We're going to see all of it. And then we're going to be at Christ's side as he comes down to put the end to the satanic world. What a marvelous thing that God has in store. And we may think, well, maybe he could have done it another way. Why didn't he just start with the great last day? Well, then that wouldn't be perfect. It wouldn't be perfect. He wants you and I, as his children, to be perfect children, to have been born into this thing perfectly, the right way. And that's the only way he can do it. And it's going to be a marvelous, marvelous time. It really is. So we can look forward to the last great day. And we'll be able to experience the real judgment of what Satan is going to go through. And the final judgment on Satan, the devil. And what he's going to do to all of his children. How he's going to work it out. He's given us a vision of that. Right in the Bible. You know, 2, 3, 4,000 years before it happens. He's got it laid out word for word exactly what's going to happen. And we're also going to go into a little bit about what happens now after all the judgment and the new heavens and the new earth. And it starts and it begins. Well, what happens then? We're going to go through a number of scriptures to see how God begins this. That's all he indicates. It's just the beginning of this. And how he carries it on and how long, we don't know. I mean, it goes on forever. But he shows us in the beginning how he's going to teach and how he's going to train and the methods he's going to use to do it. And that's a fascinating thing, and we'll be able to go through that a little bit. So enjoy the rest of the Sabbath day. Friday, all get together so no one's alone tonight, and everyone go out and have a good time. And don't eat at the frog pond too much. It's a private joke here, I guess. No. Because we'll need a lot of anointings then. But enjoy yourselves. Have a good time. And then we'll see you back here on the great day. So.